The following interview with Dr. O'Donohue was conducted by Clear Channel Worldwide Radio.
Let's talk about the sun, which is, we live in the Sunshine State, so, the phrase is, we get paid in sunshine, but the sunshine can also be something that's pretty dangerous to us. Start off by first talking about how the sun changes our skin.
That's a great way to start here, because when we're young, our skin cells are immature, just like our body is. It can be very susceptible to certain external elements. And the sun can be harmful in that when it does contact the skin, the ultraviolet radiation, UVA and UVB primarily, which are the majority of the sun's rays, can alter the DNA, which is the map of our cells in the skin, and alter it in a way that can, down the road, cause some problems. So many of my patients who come to me, I'll find a skin cancer. They may be in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, and they'll tell me, well, doctor, I don't go in the sun. I'm really good about doing it, protecting myself from the sun. And I'll tell them, well, your skin has memory, and it remembers those days when you were a youngster out on the beach. And sometimes it's just one sunburn as a kid is enough to cause some problems down the road. It's not that we can't repair that damage, but unfortunately some of the damage is already done. So ultimately, that later on can lead to some changes, particularly skin cancer, and there are a few different types.
Okay, and talk about those types.
Those types mainly, we'll start with basal cell carcinoma. It's the most common type of skin cancer. It'll be found, we'll have a million new cases of basal cell carcinoma this year. In fact, in general, skin cancer is the most common cancer diagnosed of any type of cancer in the human body. So skin cancer accounts for the most types of cancer we find. So basal cell is number one. It usually does not spread. It grows more like a weed, so it'll grow sort of locally instead of spreading from the skin to other parts of your body. It'll just, for the most part, stay in the skin. And it'll start out as maybe a small bump or a spot that bleeds, maybe it crusts over, maybe it comes and goes. We'll usually see it on sun-exposed areas like the head, neck, face, maybe on the back where you've had some sun exposure earlier. Generally, if we find this early, we can cure it with some minor surgery. Sometimes we need to do some more specialized surgery like Mohs surgery to specifically get those roots out very specifically. It's a very common, about 1 in 5 people will develop a basal cell carcinoma. Second most common type is squamous cell carcinoma. This also generally shows up in areas of the most sun exposure, the face, the head, the neck, the arms. It'll start out as a scaly sort of bump that comes and goes. It may crust, it may bleed. This can, as opposed to basal cell, this squamous cell can metastasize. And so if left untreated, it can go from the skin to other areas in the body, and that's what makes it a little bit more concerning and a little bit more aggressive than basal cell. But again, early treatment and early diagnosis can provide a complete cure. Approximately 100,000 new cases of squamous cell carcinoma will be detected this year. Our third most common type of skin cancer we find is melanoma. Melanoma is concerning, although we only find about maybe, 60,000 new cases a year, about 9,000 of those 60,000 cases will be terminal, meaning the patient will die from that skin cancer. And that is concerning. That works out to be about one death from melanoma an hour in this country. And the interesting thing about melanoma is that, unlike the other two, it usually is pigmented, meaning it's very dark. It'll usually manifest itself with some pigment, like dark black color. It'll usually evolve in a sun-exposed area, maybe in a fair-skinned person. They predominate more, but darker-skinned folks can get a melanoma as well. The key is getting it early. The difference between a melanoma that is a tenth of a millimeter and one that is a millimeter is huge.
Yeah.
So if we can find these cancers early, we can completely cure them, and that's why self-exam and regular exam by your dermatologist is so key.
And who is at risk for skin cancer? Is it pretty much anybody who goes out into the sun, doctor?
The people most at risk would be those without a lot of protection, whether that be their skin color or the protection that they provide themselves. So the typical patient is someone who's fair-skinned, who's had several burns as a child, who has light features, maybe blonde hair, blue eyes, and, white milky skin. But having said that, even though that's the poster child, let's say, for skin cancer, I have plenty of patients who are brown as a bean, tan very easily, and, you know, don't go in the sun a lot. So I believe that anybody who lives in this environment, particularly in Florida here, really needs at least a yearly screen just to make sure that everything is looking the way it should.
Are the cases of skin cancer higher in Florida than any other United States states?
We are just about tied with Arizona.
Okay.
So you'll take Arizona, take us, and we're neck and neck in terms of the numbers of skin cancers per population. In the world, though, the highest rate of skin cancer, interestingly, is found in Australia. And they actually are several years ahead of us in terms of skin cancer awareness. If you go to the beaches of Australia, most of the folks are covered from head to toe in a variety of different clothing and hats. And so they do a good job. We can learn a lot from them.
So let's talk about some symptoms of skin cancer. How does somebody know that they've got maybe perhaps the beginning stages of skin cancer?
Well, for a basal cell or a squamous cell, I would certainly be looking for something that maybe comes and goes. A red bump, a red spot, a scale. Spot that just it sort of comes and goes, or a red or scaly spot that is new and seems to maybe be growing or maybe bleeding, particularly in an area that gets a fair amount of sun, like your face, your neck, your arms, your hands. As far as melanoma goes, we really want to be focusing on the color black. Now, the Academy of Dermatology has just come up with the ABCDE rule for melanoma. And so any mole that is, let's start with A, is asymmetric, meaning if it's not perfectly round, it's something you want to look at. B, border. If the border is ragged, it's not nice and smooth. That's another characteristic that is just something concerning that we want to look at. C is color. So if a mole has a dark black color or it has a variety of brown and dark brown in it, it's another sign that we want to just look for. D is diameter. Diameter is anything over 6 millimeters, which is basically the size of your typical pencil eraser. If a mole's bigger than that, it's another parameter that we want to put together with the others. And then E is evolving. So is the mole changing? And many of my patients will come into me and they'll say, you know, doctor, I look at myself every month, and this particular mole that I see seems like it's changing a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a red flag to me, something that I need to look at very carefully with a special hand microscope that I use on all my patients.
Okay. So when people go out into the sun, it's a good idea to cover up and use sunscreen at the same time, right?
Well, I think it is now. I'm not an alarmist. I think that we all need our vitamin D, okay? And vitamin D is produced by the sun in our bodies, and that actively helps calcium into our bones. So I tell folks, if you want your vitamin D, if you happen to be deficient or you're just concerned about that, you can always get your level checked, but you can also supplement your diet. So instead of going in the sun, you can take a vitamin supplement of vitamin D, or you can make sure that your diet contains cheese, milk, or foods containing vitamin D. So we do have some instances where folks, despite doing those things, are still deficient. Yes, they do need to go in the sun for 10 or 15 minutes a day. I think that's important. But for the general person who's healthy and doing well, I would caution them to try and avoid the sun from 10 to 3 if they can do things before or after and avoid that midday sun. I think that's great. If you can't, put a sunblock on and with an SPF of 15 or higher. If you have a history of skin cancer, then you want to use an SPF of 30 or higher. You want to wear protective clothing, like a good hat with a brim. A baseball cap isn't as good as one with a brim. You want to try and wear some loose, breathable clothing, maybe with some long sleeves. And then remember, all sunblock should be reapplied. If you've been out in the sun for more than an hour or two, or you've been perspiring, or you've been in the pool or the water, you need to reapply because sunscreens will break down. If you follow those things, I think you can enjoy a lot of things outdoors without all the side effects of the sun.
Sure. And what are your feelings about tanning beds?
Tanning beds have been declared by the World Health Organization as a harm to human health, and they are a very risky endeavor. And in fact, if you look at the numbers of skin cancers since the inception of the popularity of sun tanning beds, which came into being around the early 80s, the numbers of melanoma and skin cancer in general have skyrocketed. We can attribute that to maybe a variety of factors, better detection, better knowledge by the public. But, you know, we also have to consider the use of these sun tanning beds. So again, if you want want some color, mm-hmm. and a lot of my patients do, and I think the color looks nice too, I get it out of a bottle. Because, you know, a healthy tan is, there's no such thing as a healthy tan.
Mm-hmm.
So just get one of the sunless tanners and you'll look great.
Okay. And if people wanted to find out more information about what we just talked about, is there a website they can check out or a phone number they can call?
There is. My website contains an entire library of information about all the subjects we've talked about, and that is located at www.dermatologyexperts.com. dermatologyexperts.com, or you can just contact me here at the office. I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. My number is 941-926-7546, and that's O'Donohue Dermatology.
All right. Dr. J. Morgan O'Donohue, thank you so much for joining us on the radio show.
Hey, great. Thank you for your time, Ryan.
We're back with more of It's Your Turn, Sarasota Bradenton, right after this.